be parking it in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. We've got a couple chapters here. We're going to bounce around a little bit. And who I'm going to be talking about today is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she's one of my most favorite people in the Bible. I tend to think about her life often and what her life just looked like, her everyday life. And being called out, being chosen to raise the Son of God. And how she walked out that purpose. But what I love so much about this story is this is something we all can relate to. It's very real. And we're going to talk about when Mary left the Son of God behind. And she had an everyday life moment, right? We've all been there. An everyday life moment. You see, whenever we're overdoing it, or we're overwhelmed, if we become tired, if we feel like things are out of control, we have moments just like Mary had, where we lose sight of the purpose and the true vision of what we've been called to do. We can lose sight of exactly what the Holy Spirit's trying to breathe into our life for that day. Right? I mean, am I the only one that's been there? Where you get so consumed with everything else or the distractions or the wrong things that you just completely lose sight of the original plan, the original purpose of who you are as a daughter of God. We stop setting healthy boundaries for ourselves, and because of that, we no longer set healthy boundaries for our children or our loved ones. Why? Because we just get consumed. We lose sight of the real purpose of what it looks like to prophesy into our kids, or our prayer time begins to decrease. Or if we find ourselves in a place where we're no longer serving, or our priorities are off balance, and we're no longer doing what we've truly been gifted to do. A couple weeks ago, Carly, my littlest, she tries to keep up with the boys. And the brothers, she calls them the brothers. Her whole goal in life is to keep up with the brothers. So we're going, busy. And she hits a point where she's just exhausted. So she's lying in bed and she was like, I don't want to go to school. She was like, I don't have enough time on the playground to really play on the monkey bars. The food is terrible. I don't even like school. I don't even like doing my work. She was like, everybody, all my friends, going down the list. So I said, hey, it's going to be okay. All right. I mean, I'm talking like, it's like a 20-minute drama-filled meltdown. So we pray, we put her to sleep. The next morning she gets up. Fully refreshed, you know, she didn't really say much. She goes to school and she comes back at the end of the day. She was like, that was the best day ever. Why? She needed a good night's sleep. You see, many of us, we're going through this right now because we're exhausted. We're in a place of weariness, or we're tired, and things just seem larger than what they really are. When really we need to get in that moment and just breathe and allow God's presence to restore us and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe life just into our everyday life. So here we see Mary. Let's go there. Verse 41, chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. I want to make a note really quick that during this time, they only required the men to go. So Mary going to this shows her commitment to the Lord, that she's in it. She's a part of this. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. Now he's 12, and I believe he's very trustworthy. We read in verse 40 that as the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him, okay? Jesus was a good boy, all right? So they're not worried about him. And it goes on to say that she didn't know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Verses 51 and 52. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Could you imagine that moment when Mary realized that she lost the Son of God? Joseph? Oh, do you remember when the angel came to me? Told me I was blessed and highly favored? Not now. We have lost the Son of God. Just imagine that thought process of, you know, and then they're unaware for a whole day. What are you doing? But you know, when we get busy and we get worn out, we lose sight of what's most important. We lose sight of God's vision. We lose sight of the original purpose and plan. You see, Jesus is doing what God had called him to do. And then we see Mary, and of course she's committed to the Lord. She's there. She's in it to win it. But she is in a position where she lost sight of the entire purpose of what God had given her, that dream that he had given her. Because when she goes back, she's anxious. She's looking with family members. She's not even looking in the right place. And how often do we find ourselves in our everyday lives getting overwhelmed with what's going on, then losing sight of the true purpose of what it looks like to be a wife, what it looks like to be a mother, what it looks like to be going to school as a student of the whole purpose and vision that God's given you for your future, to be a servant of God, a woman of God. And then we look in all the wrong places. We go to all the wrong people, the wrong sources. You waste valuable, precious time going to somewhere, possibly on your phone or to Netflix. Listen, I was in a tough place one time, and I had borrowed the entire Gilmore Girls, like every season from Jill. Jill, where are you at? And I was back. Oh, there you are. And rather than going to God, I ran from God and binge watched Gilmore Girls and just soaked in my self-pity. Just soaked in my self-pity. You know, you can't run from God. When you're running from God, in all actuality, you're actually just running from your God-given destiny and the fulfillment of your God-given purpose. You can't run from God. Well, how do you know that, Anna? Well, in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, I want to read this in the message. It's so good because I believe many of us find ourselves in that place exactly where Mary was. We're searching in all the wrong places, or you're just running from God because it's hard. It's hard, and it seems easier to run, but in all actuality, you're stalling out for what God has really created you to do. Psalm 139, 7 through 12 in the message. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, "Oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. In fact, darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. That even in your, you are in your most, just that darkest place. He says the darkness is as the light to Jesus. That wherever you're at right now, God is there. You're not far from him. As a matter of fact, the blood of Jesus is continually drawing you near. Calling out your name. I'm here. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting for you to turn it off and to come to me. Stop running. Stop going to all the wrong places. Stop spending your entire bank account on things you don't need. Your purpose is to be a blessing and to sow into the kingdom of God, right? Come on, ladies, let's get real. I'm all about calling out these things. Why? Because when you get real and honest with yourself, you begin to get real and honest with God, and God can do something about it. He can do something about it. You see, this is where Mary, at this moment, Mary had to go back and remind herself the true vision and what God had spoken into her heart. We find that in Luke chapter 1. Let's go back there and let's just see. Let's see what this says. Luke chapter 1, verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Then he goes on to say, "You're going to birth forth a son, and his name is going to be Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of God. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary's like, okay, how is this going to happen? Well, not by your power, Mary. Not by your might, Mary. Right? But by the Holy Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I believe that in this moment, whenever Mary went back and she found her son in the temple, we actually see, whenever you read this, that he's talking about here. And you know, this is what's really cool about God. And when you begin to study God's word, then when you get in and you begin to read and you pull out these words, that we see the word rhema. It's the rhema word that is spoken through these conversations. Now, you don't see that word just written in your Bible. You've got to study it out and see what it says, and you find it in the Greek. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, if we continue, well, in verse 37 and 38, it says, "For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And then the angel departed from her." Okay? That word there in verse 37 is the word rhema. In verse 37, when it says, "For with God nothing will be impossible," that word "nothing" there is actually the word rhema in the Greek. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, whenever the shepherds were there and they're rejoicing and they're coming in and casting vision, it says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That word "things" there means rhema. That's the word rhema. In Luke chapter 2, verses 50 through 51, in verse 50, the word where she says they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them, that word "statement" is actually the word rhema. In verse 51, when it says, "But his mother kept these things in her heart," the word "things" there actually means the word rhema. What is the word rhema? That's God's spoken word. That is a Holy Spirit word that is planted on the inside of you if you choose to receive it. You see, when Mary's going through this process, this everyday life process, and through her life, I believe she had that moment. Why? Because it says that Mary kept these things in her heart. She went back to the original plan and the vision and the purpose that God had for her. The rhema word from the very beginning where he said, "Nothing shall be impossible." And she said, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word." What is the rhema word that God has been speaking into your heart about your life? Do you have one? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to just imprint and seal God's word on the inside of you for your marriage, for your children, for your future. You know, when I saw these women up here and I saw Megan casting vision towards this, what I saw was a rhema word. A word where the Holy Spirit just came in and birthed life on the inside of her for the women of this church that will what? That's going to produce a harvest for the kingdom of God. Going back to that purpose, going back to that vision, hiding those things in your heart. We are in a day and age where we tell everybody everything. Everything. Listen, you guys, this is something the Lord has been ministering to me. I am a talker from the word go. He said, Anna, you need to begin to hide some things in your heart. That's hard. It's hard. It is. I've really been in a season of just character building. And I asked him for it. I asked him for it. Because the last couple of years in my life, I recognize that in going through some difficult processes and facing disappointments and hurts, at times wanting to quit or feeling like Mary, where I thought, how in the world did I just forget this entire purpose and what God had called me to do? But I went before the Lord and I had to begin to hide things in my heart. What does that mean? That means you're taking God's word, you're meditating on it, that you're letting it saturate in your life and really transform your mind, transform your emotions, transform who you are, where you're not just coming here and singing these wonderful worship songs, but then walking out the same. That's not the purpose of this. What is the word from the Lord that you're hiding in your heart today? What is it? What's God been speaking to your heart? Listen, I've been in seasons where I was like, I don't even know. I don't know. And did you know that's okay to recognize that that's where you're at tonight? This is what I love about God, is that God didn't come down from heaven and look at Mary and say, Mary, you done messed up. I'm taking back my son. You left him behind. Okay, I am taking him back. I'm taking him back, Mary. What were you thinking? No, we serve a God of second chances. We serve a God of restoration. We serve a God that even in our mess ups, that he loves us and that the Holy Spirit is cheering us on. He didn't come back down and take away Jesus. No. God has not taken your vision and your purpose from you. I've had to realize in the last couple of years, and it has been a beautiful time with the Lord doing a work on the inside of me, that God loves me even when I'm running from him. God loved me even when I was laying on my bed watching Gilmore Girls all day long. God loves me even whenever I don't love myself. God loves me even when I don't believe in myself. He's believing in me. And he says nothing is impossible if I would just believe in him. You see, this is who God is. Salvation is not based upon condemnation. Salvation is based upon redemption. The precious blood of Jesus Christ that has saved you and set you free, that has made you whole. The God of second chances. So you messed up and you dated the wrong guy. Break up with him and move on. So you left your son behind. And it took you 3 days to find him, and he's in there worshiping the Lord, and you didn't get it. Go back to the original plan and purposes and remind yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus. Stop staying stuck. Get out of it. Why? Because you've got a purpose and you have a plan and God's calling you out. You see, Mary had a purpose and God had a beautiful vision and a plan for her life. To receive the Son of God, to birth him out, to take care of him and nourish him, to see him grow in wisdom and in stature, to be a godly mother to him, to raise him in a godly household and lead by example, by going to Passover. And then when she messes up, to hide the word of God in her heart and to go back to the things of God. And then do you know what I love about this? Is that when Jesus died and he said, listen, I'm going to send you a comforter. He comes back, right? He defeats death, hell, and the grave. He comes back. He's been promising the Holy Spirit. And he tells them to wait. And if we go to Acts chapter 2, everybody turn there, because you just have to read this. Now let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 14. This is what's beautiful about God's plan for your life. This is what's beautiful about asking the Holy Spirit to breathe into who you are today. Because within that Jesus, we see that before he ascends into heaven, he tells them to wait. But who's waiting? In verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I had a moment today where it just hit me, where I thought about Mary and I thought about her life and what she experienced of losing her son, knowing that this was going to happen. I mean, Simeon even prophesied what was going to place, that it was seriously going to pierce her heart. Why? So that we all could be free. What this woman went through. But the Holy Spirit, God didn't leave her behind. He purposefully planted her in the upper room to receive a fresh breath from heaven to continue in the call and the plans and the purposes that he had for her. So Jesus, he goes to heaven, but he said, listen, I'm sending you another comforter because you're going to need him. And he's going to help you. He's going to breathe life into you. He's going to speak to you and guide you of things to do, of things to come. He's going to cheer you on and remind you of who you are in Christ Jesus and give you power and boldness to live for me, to fulfill this purpose. And then the Holy Spirit falls. And praise God, Mary is right there with him. And then we see Peter get up and give a powerful word and a message. And then he goes on to say, in these last days, he said, it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. After all of this, we see a great revival take place. But what I love is at the end of this chapter, and my Bible even says, starting before verse 40, it says, a vital church grows. And if you jump down to verse 46 and 47, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And he talks about that it's the apostles and those that were in the upper room that then began to build the church. So we see Mary and we see this progression of God calling her out, that she's highly favored, that he's given her a purpose and a plan. And that continually she had to go back to that rhema word, the word that God had spoken into her. And then she has to go in and wait with the rest of them for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, they choose to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. The church grows. This is the picture of what God is wanting to do. Is that you ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life into your conversations, You ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life into your marriage. You ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life into your parenting, to breathe life into you and your workplace and your occupation, into you serving. So why? So that you can fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that people are forever changed and transformed. And we're coming together, not in animosity, not in offense, not in comparison, not in drama, but forgiving one another and working with one another and feeding one another. And having those beautiful one-on-one conversations and hooking arms with each other. Because there are people in this world that need you to live for Jesus in the power of the Holy Ghost. They need to see you forgiving. They need to see you loving your husband. They need to see you raising your children in a godly household. And what that looks like. They need to see you reaching out and asking them if they need prayer and just loving on them. I need it. If I need it, I for sure know they need it. This is what this looks like. And it's beautiful. This past summer, I was ministering at a youth camp and in Tennessee. Kelly was there, my friend Kelly, and I was doing a girl talk. Well, the Holy Spirit, I was just the most beautiful presence of God after I had ministered, and the Holy Spirit just began to work. And so he instructed me. Well, first I sang a worship song, which when he does that, I'm like, Lord Jesus, I can't really sing, but I just pray and ask him to let me sing good enough so it's anointed and it doesn't turn y'all off, okay? We're like, oh, no, Lord, I can't think of you. All I can think about is that she's flat, right? No, that's not the purpose. So I just began to sing a song, and then the Holy Spirit started to call out some things out of my spirit. Well, as he did, I was calling different women leaders up front. I said, hey, if you want to, if your parents are divorced and you want, you know, to be prayed for and you're battling, you're from a broken home, I should come up and pray with this pastor. And if you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, I want you to come pray with Kelly. If you just need a hug, I want you to come up here and this person's going to give you a hug. I mean, the Holy Spirit's just flowing, okay? Well, at the end of the service, a pastor's wife came up to me and she told me the story. And she goes, Anna, I've got to tell you something. And it's actually quite funny of what just the Holy Spirit says. I was like, oh, what? Well, she was one of the people I had called out. She goes, I was up there, and I'd called her out with another pastor's wife, and she goes, I had just looked at this pastor's wife, and I said, man, I wish I could preach like Anna. And right when I finished, you said, if you're battling comparison, I want you to come up, and she'll pray for you right here. And she goes, then right after that, you said, if you're battling comparison, I'd pray for him. And the Holy Spirit called me out. And he said, you do what I've called you to do. You're not called to be like her. You have your own gifts and your own talents, and God wants to use you right where you're at. This is who you are, and it's beautiful. It's glorious when you operate in that fulfillment. When Mary operated in her calling and gifting, God was able to use her in such a beautiful way. The same way that God wants to use you. And I think it's beautiful that the Holy Spirit will call us out and say, hey, stop with the comparing. Quit it. You're enough because I created you enough. And then I'm more than enough. You're going to be able to go out and meet people and encourage people. And God's going to use you right where you're at in your everyday life. And what that looks like just for you. And asking the Holy Spirit to breathe life into you. A few years ago, we struggled with our third son, Colton, really battled anxiety. And he was very shy. As a matter of fact, when we would introduce him to someone, he would go, We were like, Colton, you can't groan at people, man. All right, you have to say hello. But he went through a rough season where he would not go to children's church, and he was so afraid of being away from me. It was separation anxiety for me personally. It was a very testing and trying time for me as well. I was exhausted. I mean, it was overwhelming at times. And at church here, we're the pastors, and I would go to put him in children's church. And our church right now is it's in a portable position where we meet in a cinema, and then right beside it is our children's church. And then there's sidewalk; it's open street sidewalk. I would go put Colton in children's church. He would break free and run down the street to find me, acting like, I mean, crazy. And I'm like, Colt, we're here every day, man. We planted this church, okay? Like, you know these people. But it was true, just fear. It was a spirit of fear in his life. You know, I went to the Holy Spirit and I said, Holy Spirit, what do we do? I need you to breathe life into this and show me what to do. And the Holy Spirit gave us a beautiful plan. And then the Holy Spirit refreshed me in that season to be able to handle those moments where I felt like we feel like a failure. Or just not doing a good job as a mom, you know? So to testify of this year, at the beginning of the year, Colton comes home. My child, who barely would stand up in front of anyone to say anything, and he says, I've got a surprise for you. He pulls out this yellow sheet of paper, and he said, I am running for student body president. And I was like, oh, you're going to have to give a speech in front of like 400 students. He goes, I know. Wow. And that little boy, my little fourth grader, and he's running against fifth graders. He got up there on that stage and he gave a speech, and it was the Holy Spirit breathing life into him. Now for some, you know, you're like, oh wow, your kid is running for student body president. You know, this is everyday life. This is everyday life. I can't tell you how many moments I've said, Holy Spirit, help me in how to parent this child. I don't know what to do. One of our children, Joshua and I, we had to come together because what we were doing wasn't working. It just wasn't working. And we prayed, and the Holy Spirit gave us a new plan. And then we committed together to do that plan. And within that, God breathed life into it. You see, it's hiding that word in your heart. It's allowing God to seal that word in your heart by the Holy Spirit. If you have a child who's far from God, the Holy Spirit wants to breathe life into your prayers. He wants to breathe life into what you're believing for freedom and for those chains to be broken. The Holy Spirit wants to breathe life into our passion for the things of God. Just like when the Holy Spirit fell, and what did the Holy Spirit do? He gave them renewed vision and passion for who Jesus is. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit will do for you. It's just up to you to ask Him, to receive Him, and to allow Him to come in, to listen, to take that time. It's my last story, and then we've got some prayer and some things the Holy Spirit wants to do. So when Colton was six and Carly was almost four, my oldest two went on a little bike ride. And I was like, all right, you all go to a bike ride. You're going to be safe. These two, you have to stay here because I can't go with you. They're not old enough to just ride around my neighborhood, you know? So I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Don't go anywhere. Well, I go to the bathroom. I come out, and I'm folding some laundry, and I realize it's extremely quiet in the house. Well, I start looking, and I mean, these kids are nowhere. I mean, nowhere. So at this point, it's been like 10 minutes. I'm frantically looking through my house. I run outside. They're not down the street. I mean, I can see all the way down our street. It's 15, 20 minutes, and my two youngest children, they're just gone, and they're little. So I am on the verge. I just called Joshua and I was like, Colton and Carly are gone. I have no idea. I am calling them everywhere. I was getting ready to press 911. I mean, I was at that point of like, all right, I'm gonna have to call the police and we're going around the neighborhood, you know, like what has happened? And I see two blocks down, here comes Colton holding Carly's hand, you know, like coming down the street. And crazy Anna mom was like, where have you been? I was going to call the police. We went to go find Cohen and Cade. I was like, you didn't even tell me. It's 20 minutes. So I'm losing my mind. We come inside. I throw them on the couch. And I look at him and I go, you're going to sit right there for the next 30 minutes and you're just going to let me breathe. You're going to sit there for 30 minutes, 30 minutes, and just let me sit here and breathe. And I sat on the floor, my back to the wall, and I just sat there and I go, you know, many of us need to just throw all of the chaos, all of the disappointments, all of the cares, all of the hardships, all of the worries, everything to the side and say, you're going to sit there and I'm going to sit here and breathe. And I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to renew my vision for me and what He's called me to do and who I am in Christ Jesus. And allow the Holy Spirit to remind me that nothing is impossible with God. Can you just imagine Mary going back to that moment with the angel, that rhema word? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. I'm going to sit here and breathe and let the Holy Spirit sing a new song in my heart. Let the Holy Spirit paint a new picture for my life. Let the Holy Spirit show me what it looks like to be restored. Let the Holy Spirit come in and show me that my children are going to come in. Why? Because I've been planting good seed in fertile soil, and it has to produce a harvest in their lives. Let the Holy Spirit come in and reveal to me those secret things of things to come, of the next step I've been asking Him for. Holy Spirit, you're going to breathe on the inside of me. Do a healing work on the inside of me. Mend my broken heart and bind up those wounds. Just breathe. So we're going to ask the worship team to come up front. And then the Holy Spirit has told me a few things that we're going to pray for tonight. As they're doing that, I want you guys to just go ahead and begin to talk to the Lord. I believe there are many of us, we recognize some areas in our life that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to breathe into. I specifically have said, Holy Spirit, breathe life into my conversations. Every day I say it. Breathe life into my conversations. Why? Because I want to be an influencer for the kingdom of God, because I want the Holy Spirit to use me.